You know, last week, I had that long-haired guy here with me, helping me out. But we talked about engaging God by loving God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And I want to continue a little bit on that line this morning, because we cannot really love without loving God. The foundation of our faith is loving God. But it's easy to say we love God. As we touched on last week, love is a verb. It's about what we do. Love is action. Love is faith put into action. Faith lived out. Now, last week we sang a song, "The More I Seek You." I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. Now, don't get me wrong, don't misquote me. I like this song, it's a powerful song, but it kind of feels weird as a guy singing that I want to cuddle up to Jesus and drink from a cup that he's holding and lay my head up against it. It just feels weird to me. You know, I want somebody to write some other lyrics to it. Jesus, I want to sit in the booth at the Waffle House and have a cup of coffee with you. Or I want to sit around a campfire and eat barbecue while we talk to each other and I get to know you and enjoy your presence. See, how do we love Jesus? See, I can wrestle with that, and like I said, I love that song, and it is a powerful song. But sometimes we get in our minds certain things about loving Jesus. But how do we really know? How do we really live out loving Jesus? In what is known as Farewell Discourse, the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 17. That's a big chunk of Scripture. In that chunk of Scripture, Jesus is teaching his disciples his final teachings, going from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. If you've got a Bible that has Jesus' words in red, it looks like he bled all over those pages, which he did. But in those verses, in chapter 14, verse 15, these final teachings of Jesus, he says, "If you love me, obey my commands." He doesn't say, "If you love me, lay your head on my chest." Or, "If you love me, sit in a booth with me at the Waffle House." He says, "If you love me, obey my commands." It's that simple. Love of Jesus equals obedience to Jesus. And Jesus isn't this concept. He's not a theology. He's not a plan of salvation. Jesus is fully God, fully man. Theology, Scripture, all these things point to Jesus, but Jesus is to be the focus. Jesus is a person. And we need to engage Jesus. We need to love Jesus, to obey Jesus. He gets us. He understands us. He became man and walked on this earth. And if we would just obey him, life would go so much better. He continued in verse 21 of chapter 14 of John's Gospel. "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and will reveal myself to each of them." Are you seeing a pattern here? Jump to verse 23. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them." This is engaging God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, dwelling with us, dwelling in us, leading us, guiding us, encouraging us. We obey Jesus, and he enables us to obey. We respond to his love for us by loving him. And in our love for him, we obey him. We have the ability to choose. We have the ability to obey. When we love Jesus, not just with our words, but with who we are and who he is, we do what he asks of us. We do what he commands. He continues in John 14, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. See, Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he's making a point for his disciples and for us. To follow Jesus is to love Jesus, is to obey Jesus. And to obey him is not following a list of rules. It's the way we live because of our love for God and him living in us. It just becomes who we are. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us apply the scripture, to apply Jesus' teachings to our lives in 2023, because we will face things that the writers of the Gospels never imagined. They didn't know about the internet. They didn't know about cars. They didn't know about a lot of things we face. But those teachings in Scripture, we can still apply them to our lives, and the Holy Spirit comes and helps us take what's in Scripture, what Jesus says, and apply them to our lives now in this world where we live. Because Jesus does not give us a long list of things, do this, do this, do this, do this, because it wouldn't have had the things that we face in it. What he calls us to is pretty simple. Love God, love people, make disciples. Love God, love people, make disciples. A lot of his teachings, and a lot of it was in parables, but he was teaching what it looked like to live for the kingdom of God. What it looked like to love God and love people, because that's what the kingdom of God is about. So he's teaching us, this is what it looks like to live for the kingdom of God. Now go and love God and love people and make disciples. Pretty easy. Living and revealing his kingdom while living in this world. And Jesus was not just teaching this pie-in-the-sky philosophy. He calls us to a different way of life and empowers us to live that different life. If we really recognize who Jesus is, fully God, creator of heaven and earth, we would want to do what he asks of us. Not, oh, man. No, we would want to. We couldn't help but love him and live for him. Do we really believe? Do we really love him? Or is it just this kind of convenient idea, you know, a kind of a concept that makes me feel good? One day, Jesus was teaching about getting rid of unclean spirits. As he was speaking, a woman from the crowd called out, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came and the breast that nursed you. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I'm up here preaching and you say amen or hallelujah, it's going to be okay. But if you stand up and yell, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came and the breast that nursed you, I am going to lose it. Can you? I don't know what was on in this woman's mind when she said that. But Jesus kept his cool through all of that. And he said, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Oh, so what he is saying is more blessed are you who hear the word of God and put it into practice than is Mary, the mother of Jesus, the one some people are tempted to worship and pray to. More blessed are you if you hear the word of God and put it into practice than is even Mary, the mother of Jesus. See, Jesus didn't come to give us some suggestions on how to live. He didn't come to tell us how to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. He came to show us and teach us and enable us to live the lives we were created to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. And he did that through his life, death, and resurrection. At the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew, begins in Matthew chapter 5, and he deals with all kinds of subjects there. He deals with anger and adultery and divorce and forgiveness and love of enemies and giving and prayer and all these other things. And through it out, he sets this high bar for us. And then at the end of it, he says, not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Or in Luke's gospel, after talking about judging others and loving our enemies, Jesus says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? So what's love got to do with it? Everything. Love of Jesus equals obedience to Jesus. Jesus said, we can call him Lord, but it means nothing without obedience. And I haven't found anywhere in Scripture that says if we pray a prayer one time, we're good to go. We got our ticket stamped and going to live like we want. No, that prayer we pray is submitting to Christ. That's the initial part of that relationship. But then we continue to walk with him and we live a changed life. Because he's entered into us and we've surrendered and he's cleansed us of our sin and now we are new people in Christ. If you were here last week, I'm sure you remember because everybody said to me, it wasn't anything I said, of course, it was what my son said about washing dishes. You remember that? Yeah, he said, you know, if mom tells him to wash the dishes, he could ask the questions, well, when you say wash, is it just dishes or utensils or cups or anything out of the sink? What's included? Because we look for loopholes, and we do it in our faith. See, we want to know, what's the bare minimum I have to do in order to have eternal life? How much do I have to do? And as soon as we start asking that, we can tell what we're doing. We're trying to earn our way. It's not about this relationship. It's about what do I have to do? And see, that's not when Jesus is talking about obedience, he's not talking about trying to figure out what we have to do. It's about this relationship with him, and we love him so much that we just do it out of love. When Lana and I were early in our dating life, I went to a Jimmy Buffett concert with a bunch of my friends up at Meriwether Post Pavilion. And Lonnie knew where I had the key to my house and broke into my house while I was gone and deep cleaned my kitchen from top to bottom. I didn't ask her to do that. She wouldn't have done it if I'd asked her to. She just did it to show her love for me. Did that. Like I said, that was before we were married. Whoa, Dio, you and I in the same trouble now. When we love someone, when we love God, we obey out of love. As I've said before, it's the difference between saying I got to do something and I get to do something. When we love him, it's not, well, I got to do these things. No, it's, man, I get to do these things. I get to lead a small group and help people get to know Jesus better. Really? Me? I get to get up here and share God's word every week? Who am I to do? I get to do. Well, see, it's a difference in that place of love and obedience, not trying to follow a bunch of rules. Because, see, God does not just want to have a transaction with us. He wants to see transformation in us. He wants to change our hearts so we desire to obey him. Some of you may know that my mother's been in the hospital since last Sunday. Actually, I was getting ready to preach and pops up on my watch that she was trying to call me, and my daughter-in-law ran out and talked to her, and she said she was headed to the emergency room. That's what you want before you get up to preach, right? So she's been there all week, and they just kept upping her pain meds and all. She's in a lot of pain in her legs and just miserable. So the nurses would call me in the morning, give me an update, but nothing was happening. So Friday I decided I'm going to Salisbury, and I'm going to sit there until the doctor comes in with the rounds so I can address what's going on, advocate for her. Well, the nurse told me when she called me that morning, well, visiting hours don't start until 11 o'clock. I said, well, what time do they do the rounds? She said, I don't know. I already knew because they had already told me. It was between 9 and 10. 11 o'clock's after that. I said, and I can't even get in before that? She said, no, you can't come in until 11 o'clock. That's the rules now. That's the way to do it. So I drove down to Salisbury. I walked into the hospital, I put my mask on, and I just kept walking like I knew what I was doing, pretending I was a doctor. Just walking on through there, nobody said anything, but right where her wing was, there was all these people, and I don't know what they were all sitting in all the chairs and standing there just about blocking the area. I said, excuse me, I walked through, went right to her room, and sat there until the doctor, she didn't tell me to do that, I did that out of love for her. Sometimes, don't abuse this now. Sometimes we have to disregard the rules of our culture in order to be obedient to God. Sometimes out of our love for him, we've got to dismiss what people may be telling us. What's love got to do with it? Everything. God loved us so much that Jesus came and died for our sin. And our response to him is that obedient love as we engage with God. That means God's at the very center of our lives. He's the center of everything we do. It's our relationship with him that affects everything else we do. It's not following a list of rules, like I said. It's making decisions based on our relationship with Jesus. Do we really know him? Does he know us? On Judgment Day, is he going to say, you call me Lord, but you never did what I asked of you? Because to call him Lord, by definition, Lord means we submit to him. He's the boss. We do what he asks of us. To call him Lord means we live lives of obedience to him. My dad got out of the Marine Corps not long before I was born, and my sister said, especially the two of us, she was older than I am. She was born while he was in the Marine Corps, said he raised us like little Marines. And I remember my dad, I was little. If I didn't do what he told me to, when he told me to, he says, boy, when I say jump, you jump, and you say how high on the way up. I didn't understand that as a kid. As I got older, I said, how do you ask how high on the way up? But what he wanted me to know is you're in my house and I'm in charge. And if you ask me to, if I ask you to do something, you do it. You don't ask about it. You trust me enough that you just do it. When Jesus asks us to jump, do we start asking him why? What do you mean? Which dishes? Or do we say, how high on the way up? This morning we sang the song, Oceans. Spirit, I'm not going to criticize this song. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Now, if you're singing that, do you know what you're just saying? Wherever he may call us. Are we really willing to go wherever he may call us? Even if it's not where we want to go? Even if it's to do something that we think is impossible? Even if it's something that's socially unacceptable? Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. If we really love Jesus, our lives are an open checkbook, and he can write whatever he wants. Go where I tell you to go. Do what I ask you to do. That's what love is. There's things that we read in the Bible we might not really like. There's definitely things we read in Scripture that goes against our culture. And unfortunately, too many churches are allowing the culture to shape what they preach and teach instead of allowing Scripture to shape the culture. We have got to get back to standing firm. What do you mean sex is just for within marriage? Between one man and one woman, really? That's such old-fashioned stuff. What do you mean love our enemy? What do you mean the greatest is the servant? I came up the ladder so I could tell others what to do. What do you mean be the servant of all? What do you mean by caring for the poor? What do you mean I have to forgive? And on and on and on it goes. Do you love Jesus enough to say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'll obey whatever you want me to do. I trust you. Lon A and I have tried to be obedient to God wherever he's led us. It meant moving to Missouri, middle of the country, without salt water anywhere near, with four kids from 2 to 8, moving away from family and anybody else we knew. But God's good. And then he called us to move back and move to Berlin and start a church and work 2 jobs so that I could pastor a church. And then he led us here about 1 year ago. And in that time, he's led us on all kinds of great adventures. Oh, there's been challenging times. There's been things we've faced that we'd never imagined, but he's blessed us beyond measure too. There's times of wondering, where are you, God, and where are you taking us? There's times of wondering, why, God? But love of God through trusting him no matter the circumstances, knowing he loves us more than we can even begin to love him. So we set our hearts and walk in obedience. God wants us to fully trust him. If he asks us to step out on the water, Robert, step out on that water right out of the boat. If he calls us to get up 1 hour early, to spend time with him, set that clock 1 hour early. If he asks us to give up golf or fishing or watching TV or movies or so we can spend that time with him, going to Medlin, are we willing to do that? Do we love him that much? To give up whatever he asks you to give up. And I'm not saying he's asking us to give up any of those things. None of those things are wrong. I'm just saying I know Jesus sometimes asks us to give things up. And there's some people he's asked them to give everything up. Do you love Jesus that much? Do you love him enough to obey him even when he asks you to do something you don't want to do, that you're afraid of? I want to bring this back around for a minute. The mission of Real Life Chapel is making disciples who are making disciples. And that's not just something that got made up when the church started saying, oh, that's a cool little phrase. No, that is what Jesus calls the church to do. And the church has gotten away from that. Instead of doing that, we want it to be a show. Disciples making disciples happens in small groups. Disciples making disciples happens when we live life, when we engage with one another and live life together around Scripture, around food, around prayer, around supporting one another. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There are certain things, man, you got to wrestle it out. God, are you calling me to this, or is that just my imagination? What is it you want? And we have to wrestle those things. We have to spend time in prayer. We need people around us to help us with that. But I am going to tell you one thing you do not have to wrestle with God about. You are called to be a disciple, making disciples. And if you're not, what is it about obedience? He calls us. That's what we're called to. Be disciples, making disciples. We can't really love God without loving people. We'll talk about that next week. But we got to engage with one another throughout even in the beginning with the early church. Small groups gathering together is where people grew in their faith, grew in their support. The bigger groups getting together and worship, this is great. But we need to gather back together in smaller groups where we get to really know each other. Do you really love God? Is Jesus really Lord of your life? Have you said to him, yeah, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? If you love me, Jesus said, obey my commands. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the life you give us. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you that you have made us into new creation. Lord, help us to hear clearly from you. Help us through the power of your Spirit to walk in obedience to you. Help us to put our love into action. Lord, I pray. Yeah, I know this would be a miracle. I pray that every person that's a part of Real Life Chapel will be involved in a small group of some sort. Whether it's one we have here, or them getting together with others at a restaurant every week, or whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that you would burden us to be disciples, making disciples. Help us, Lord. Let us step out on that water, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.